Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to the 45th episode of the Go Get That podcast. A special week for me, a big tournament in my family. We have the best course on tour coming up this week. Debate me all you want. I will never give in. This is, in my opinion, the best design that there is out there, besides Augusta, obviously, but I'm not counting that towards the tour. It's just a brilliant layout. I'm not a huge fan of the changes that they made a few years ago, but I still don't think the course is that much worse. So here we are.
Just mentioning the course. I remember when we were talking about best courses on tour, probably a few months ago, I said Riviera was better than Murfield Village. The more I think about that, I think I'm wrong. I think I take Murfield Village over Riviera. I think Riviera probably has the better showcase or like signature holes in my opinion, but just thinking about the layout more and the test of, I guess they're both good tests, but I think I like the test that Murfield Village provides a little bit more than Riviera.
Yeah.
Murfield Village is sick. Like that's just the best way to put it. I think it's one of the kind of premier stops on the tour. And unfortunately it's a really good field still, but it's not like a typical Memorial field.
Who's skipping this year?
A little disappointing.
JT, Scheffler.
JT, Scheffler.
DJ.
Brooks, Brooks and DJ always skip.
Yeah, DJ doesn't go very often.
Because the RBC is next week and he has to play right, that.
Exactly. But to see Scheffler and JT not show up, kind of WGR stuff a little bit, but
they're losing out.
I mean, it's, you know, a lot of great players here. And I actually like some of the changes. I like the runoffs a little bit. I think it's a little more, I don't want to say modern, but it seems a little more like if they lengthen it, it seems a little more fair to have some runoffs in certain areas, just to make the shots around the green tricky, but in a different way than just in the rough. But I can see why, you know, having a rough in those spots would be kind of more enjoyable. So regardless, it's a great track and it's going to be really good weather past Thursday. So it should be a good test this week.
Yeah. Well, a running joke with everyone I know, it's not the Memorial without a rain delay. It's just how the weather is over there. There's always a rain delay at the Memorial. Usually it's on like a Friday. That's like usually how it goes down, the Thursday or Friday. But no, I looked at the weather yet this week.
See rain Thursday, but besides that, we are in the clear.
Good.
So it's been pretty hot up here. Say I'm maybe a 3.5 hour drive north of the Memorial.
Yeah, it's been hot up here too.
It's like, it was 90 degrees today and my house doesn't have air conditioning. So I'm kind of, today was not easy. So it's been hot the past couple days, but I think it's supposed to kind of crack tomorrow and there'll be some rain in the afternoon there at the Memorial. And then I think it's supposed to kind of carry on into Thursday a little bit. I don't think thunderstorms though, so they should be able to play through it, but
Isolated storm on Thursday. So if it is a delay, it won't be too long, I wouldn't think.
Right. Yeah, I think at most we'll get, you know, maybe the first round doesn't quite finish for everybody, but we shouldn't be playing threesomes on the weekend unless something pops up on Sunday, which it's very capable of doing in the Midwest, but it doesn't appear to be the case, which is good. So the only issue I think is there's not going to be a ton of wind kind of the rest of the week. And with the rain kind of early, I'm hoping that it you know, and they do a pretty good job of getting the firm back out come Saturday and Sunday. But I think it might be a little bit softer than I personally would maybe hope for, which, you know, not a whole lot you can do about that. But I mean, and the winner will still be like 12, 13. Like, it's not going to get to 20 because it's not the Workday Charity Open. It's this is actually it is now, isn't it?
Or it is presented by Workday.
Workday. I mean, Workday is just everywhere, man.
They love golf. I mean,
they golf people. Yep, they do love their golf. That's very fair. Anyway,
I wonder if Workday is going to be Phil's sponsor now that KPMG is done. Like,
I think they are. Are they not?
Well, we haven't seen him in a Workday hat yet. He hasn't played since he got booted.
But then I thought there was something that said that they were.
Maybe there was. I don't know.
I don't remember. That might have been a joke because they sponsor everything.
I can confirm that Phil will not be in a Workday hat because KPMG owns Workday. So that will not be happening.
Oh, wow.
The more you know.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, that's interesting. You do. Just talking about the venue a little bit more, I think a good golf course is, we had one last week at Colonial. It's a course where you can shoot how John Rahm played last year, and you can also shoot 80 at Murfield Village very easily. Yeah. That's the test of a good golf course. No offense to Mr. Ranch. I'm sure he'll continue to bring up the rest of this year, but I think Jordan might have shot 80 at Murfield Village once. That might have happened. I know he shot some high scores here over the years, but you can go low. And I think with no wind, I'm not too worried about the greens being too soft, just because I think Colonial, even last week, it's obviously not as hot in Ohio as it is in Texas, but Colonial got rain, I believe, on Wednesday, and we saw how firm it got towards the end of the week.
Yeah, so, I think I'm not a weather person. I mean, I like looking at the weather, but I don't know its impact on golf courses as well as I would maybe like to. But like, I feel like wind dries out courses better than sun sometimes. So I think it won't have that, like, quite have that crispiness to it, I think. But I'm hoping maybe it's up a few more pin locations, they can tuck them a little bit more with less wind and
well,
crisp and stuff like that, because that, you know,
when the Memorial gets tough,
a 13 under winter I think is ideal.
Yeah, when the Memorial gets tough, it gets tough.
That
16th hole can get diabolical.
Fixed that green though, which was smart a couple years back. I don't think you can hate that.
But it's still to the point where,
oh, it's tough.
You have to land it on the front to hold the green if you get if you get the certain wind.
And if you're short.
Seeing people lay up on that hole was crazy. That was interesting.
Also, I guess the other thing with the rain, and if they just let the rough grow, we could be getting some juicy rough, which is cool because we haven't really had that in a while.
This is just the juiciest rough we've seen so far this year.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think the last time there was good rough.
You just don't get it. Yeah, I mean, I don't even think Torrey is going to be as tall just as it is this week. So.
Like, Riviera is tough, but the rough is playable. But because it's short, it kind of changes. It's not like you have to hack stuff out. And you're not going to have to, like, hack stuff out this week, but it's certainly going to be you're not going to be able to control it very well, right?
There'll be some hack knocks, though, I guarantee it.
Right. Well, yeah, if you're like a million miles off the fairway, you'll have to have, but if you're, you know, if you're within range, you'll still have a chance, but it won't be, with the pin locations, you're not going to be able to throw darts from the rough this week. So,
which is how it should be.
Yes.
So just getting into Jordan's game a little bit regarding this week, I saw a stat on Twitter earlier. I forgot who it was, so if you're, I doubt you're, well, you might be listening, but I apologize if I can't credit you. Murfield Village greens are like 3-putt percentage is a lot lower than the average on tour. So like, obviously a little biased here, but you're always trying to manifest a way for Jordan Spieth to be in the picture come Sunday. These greens, I was seeing stats on them. They're not that tough. Like, obviously, if you're pushing it or pulling it from 3 feet like he's been doing all year, you're going to struggle. But this is a place I expect him to win it at some point in his career. I think tee to green, the way his game is right now, I think tee to green, you're going to need to be able to hit fairways with how the rough's going to be. And he's bombing it now. So, like, the bomb and gouge game, obviously, you can't miss in certain spots. But, I mean, like, Bryson's back this week. Perfect example. You know what he's going to be doing, bombing and gouging it. I don't love him this week. I mean, you can never love him the way he's putting right now. But I think this is one of his better chances maybe remaining on the schedule this year if the putter cooperates.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and also give that prediction that I think that I think that he shakes Jack's hand by the end of his career. This is a place that the results that he's had here have really not translated to how well this course actually does fit his game. On paper. He's been in contention here on Saturday a few times and it's just kind of faded. But he's played well here. He shot a 64 a few years ago, right? And
yeah, maybe 66.
66 was 6 under. Yeah, I forgot his par 72. But yeah, so he was right there. That was the year I went, actually. Not a great weekend. I remember weekend pairing with Martin Keimer. Jordan 3 putted on 3. It was a rough day.
Keimer was gonna win that week, right?
Yeah.
Like it was a Saturday final group, I think. And
yeah,
maybe 2019.
It was 2019, yeah.
Where Jordan was somehow in like 3 final groups on Saturday. Yeah. Hadn't had no business being there.
So I went to Saturday and Sunday's rounds. I watched him for 34 holes. The only holes I missed him was Sunday 7 and 8. And on 80 chipped in. And I missed it. So I always remember. What?
A good memory.
Yeah. Well, it was a great week. That was a fun week. Patrick Cantlay came from nowhere. No one thought he was gonna win that tournament. But a sick course to watch. It was built for spectators, which is what's really cool. A lot of the fairways are kind of bowls so that people can sit on the grass. There are not many grandstands at the Muirfield Village. Aren't even grandstands on 18.
People sit on the hill. Yeah. That's sick.
I feel like the natural viewing. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, well, I think that's kind of like, I know Jack took a lot of inspiration from Augusta. Augusta has grandstands, but Augusta's, you know, very old fashioned. So I think, I believe they call them patrons at Memorial too.
Yeah.
So it's very old fashioned in that sense, which is just another.
Augusta. Yeah. Like it was meant to be. One thing I do want to say is 5 still par 5, right? They didn't change the par, right? I know that they rumored that.
I don't think they changed any pars.
The par 5s here are some of the best on tour.
Yeah. Cool.
7's a little boring, but even 7, that green is crazy. Like, it's impossible to hold with a 3-wood. Like, you really can't hold that green. But 5 is brilliant. 11 is great. And then 15, they changed it a bit, but it really didn't take away from the – it made it more fair so that 280-yard hitters weren't rolling back down the hill to 230 yards off the tee. But the design is still perfect. The par 5s are by far, I think, the best design course has to offer. Like, that's what sticks out to me. I can't really think of a course with better. I mean, Augusta is better. Augusta is the best par 5s in the world, I think. But I think that Muirfield has – the best par 5s on tour probably, because there's 4 of them. 4 of them you can definitely make an eagle. You can make an eagle on all 4 of these par 5s, but you can also make a 7 or an 8, which is what makes them so good. And off the tee, there's water on all of them except 7. Off the tee, if you're on the rough, you need to lay up short of a creek on 5, 11, and 15. There's water on 15 right. There's water all through 11, kind of leading through the hole. I remember when he what he did on 11 last year. He was like in Narnia to the left. That was, you don't remember that?
No, I do. I was just shaking my head at
how absurd that was. Didn't he take, he took himself out of contention real early, didn't he?
Nothing? He shot 76 on Thursday and then played really well Friday.
Yeah, because he started with, he started like birdie, he started like bogey eagle, right? He made an eagle on 11. He started on 10.
I think that was a different year. He did
That was definitely last year.
I don't think he made an eagle on 11 last year because he played god awful. Like,
first round was brutal.
The first round was terrible because it was the follow up from the Colonial Sunday. And he's like, I just don't know where my swing went. It's like, come on, bro. Come on. You can't be doing that. And they had the rain delays and stuff like that. I think you're talking 2020 because I remember an eagle at 11 where he threw a three wood to like 3 feet.
Yeah.
He did not play. Yeah. So it was 2020. And yeah. He didn't play 11 very well last year.
Yeah. Fair but enough. I mean, par five scoring is key. And with his distance, like, I know the par fives have been lengthened a little bit. But if, you know, if he finds the fairway, he can give all of them a rip with a three wood. So it'll be, those will be key. You know, if you play those in eight under, nine under for the week, you've got a really good shot, I think. Unless you, I mean, he plays 12 so bad because it's basically 12 at Augusta and he just plays it terrible. Like,
Wow. Have you guys looked at the chat in the last 5 minutes?
No.
Don't look yet. Put your phone down.
Come on.
You can't do that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Is it the LIV list?
Was just released.
I'm looking. So you're
hold on. 1 second. Just give me 1 second. You ruined it.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't looked at anything?
Nope.
There's one complete shock.
Fowler?
Nope.
You're never going to guess it. I saw it. You're never going to guess it, Dan.
Xander? You're never going to guess it.
Xander.
No.
Cantlay.
Former world number one.
Keimer.
No.
Nope.
This is actually a good number one.
Like a recent number one?
He's a Hall of Famer. No.
DJ.
How recent?
DJ.
Wow. That's like,
I'm shocked.
That's like kind of surprising, but...
Wow, Chase Koepka's doing it? Interesting.
Makes sense. That does Louis make sense. There. Wow, this is like Poulter. Okay, that makes sense.
James Pyatt.
What a baller. Yeah. He has got no money to his name as an M. That's smart.
Good for him, dude.
Yeah, he's making the bag. Westwood, Wiesberger. I mean, dude, there's a lot of dudes that I'm like, what the hell? I don't really care.
No.
Taylor Gooch, that's interesting.
Gooch,
because he
Kevin Na,
nah, okay, but he Gooch was good friends with Homa, or is good friends with Homa, and Homa was on No Laying Up saying he and Taylor hadn't heard anything about it. So for the fact that Taylor Gooch is going there next week is, that's a little interesting, newsworthy to me, I think.
They must have paid DJ King. Oh, no Phil.
No Phil. That's cool. Any Varner?
No Varner.
No.
Okay. So I guess, okay. Wow.
Instant, I guess, analysis.
DJ is very clearly the big surprise. Because I thought he said he wasn't.
You guys are so lucky getting a live reaction from us.
Isn't the event next week?
It's the week, but wait, DJ's an RBC ambassador.
Exactly. Yeah.
So DJ's not playing next week.
No, he's not. He might. He might not be an RBC ambassador anymore.
I'm shocked.
Wait.
I mean, has to be why DJ's not playing this week, right?
DJ doesn't play Memorial, though, in general.
He's in the field to play next week, or at least
DJ plays Memorial more than Brooks does.
But I remember in 20...
He did skip 1 year.
20 in COVID, the COVID year, he went and he shot 80-80. And people were like, oh, yeah. He doesn't play here.
He plays Memorial a lot.
Really?
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. So, yes. Huh. So, only he misses 19 well,
then,
last
never
year.
Never mind then. But still, that's insane. That's because he said no, right? He's like, I'm going to be on the PGA Tour. And then what's he doing with the US Open? So he's going to go from London to Brookline. I guess that's not terrible. Could be. It could, if it was at the LA Country Club, I guarantee you he wouldn't be in London.
I hate to interrupt you, but I think I know DJ is just massive news, but I think the biggest news is no Phil. Just because I think that makes an even bigger chance that Phil will be back on the PGA Tour at some point. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it'd kind of be his nail in the coffin if he ended up playing the LIV Tour, and him not playing the LIV Tour really opens the door to.
But here's my thing about Phil, though, because I don't know who I saw it from. It might have been Tiger Wood Legion, but it could have been Phil Tracker, or that's a Phil Tracker, right? Yeah. He said that Phil wasn't in the PGA, I think partly because of, you know, the things that are going on outside, but also because his game wasn't there. Like, he was shooting upper 70 scores at his home course.
Oh, wait. Phil might be playing.
And the thing, like, 3 weeks later, I don't think Phil would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is
so there's 42 guys on the list.
Right.
That Rapport tweeted. And one of the spots is being saved for an unnamed person. So maybe Phil's just not ready yet. Maybe his golf game should, because
that's kind of what I was suggesting.
Yeah, so maybe he is.
Wow. One final spot for Will. We'll leave that guess to you.
Okay. Yeah, Phil's probably the biggest news, right?
Although he still could play it, as Bob said. Based on
the fact that, I mean, no surprises in Sergio, no surprises in Poulter, Westwood. Trying to think who else. There's another Louis. But DJ is, it's like not surprising, but also very surprising. Because it seems like a DJ thing, but it also, he said no, I think, right? So
he put out a statement.
And he's like, and he's an RBC guy. So he's not anymore, clearly. No.
There's no way RBC would allow him to do that, especially as a tour event.
I think what's interesting too is, and the Canadian Open field is lit. Like, if you actually look at it, Rory, Scotty, JT, no more DJ, I guess. But I think Xander's there too. Like, it's a legit field, kind of opposite of this London event. And wow.
Yeah,
The thing is,
I know that this is the Memorial like episode, but I don't really care. I just
big news, yeah.
DJ is just like one of those not like the other kind of guys. I mean,
you're right. He's played the Saudi event on the Euros or the
like. When you think of DJ, you think of DJ like competitive fist pumps to win, like not big fist pumps, but like those, you know, those subtle DJ fist pumps to win events, because he's been winning his entire career.
Yeah.
I don't see that on this. I don't see that being a, like, that. I see all the other guys doing it. I can't picture DJ doing this. Like, I can't picture him in that atmosphere.
If you think about DJ though, like, I mean, he played the Saudi event, right? So I don't think are you surprised that he's like you just think it DJ is like clearly in a different league than the other guys, is what you're saying?
I just think his I guess, but also like I just don't see his personality being one that fits this tour. But I guess it's a money grab.
Yeah, I disagree with you that, there.
That I think the money grab part seems like a DJ thing.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, the more I think about it, he played the Saudi event. Like, if you play that Saudi event, that means you probably had at least a little bit of consideration of playing this tour.
So if here's another thing that's interesting. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I guess the PGA Tour can void this, but DJ had to sign an agreement to play the Pebble Pro-Am in 2 years because of that was like part of the waiver thing. Do you remember that, Jordan?
Yeah, for playing the Saudi that
so that's
year,
just another thing.
They had to play two Pebble. They had to play Pebble twice in the next three or something like that. DJ might not be a PGA Tour member anymore.
So is this it? Is DJ never going to play on the PGA Tour again? Here's my take. Eventually, these two tours, either this LIV tour is going to fall through, or the PGA Tour is going to be realized that that people are watching the Saudi League and they've already given their effort to try and, you know, be the good guys and just let everyone back in a year. I don't think this is the end of DJ's PGA Tour career, but it definitely is for the near future.
Oh, for sure.
It'll be
interesting to see the US. I'm sure he's still playing the US Open, but it's also like, well.
So here's the thing about the US Open. The US Open is like very high standards on the fact that they are an open tournament.
Right.
Like if you qualify, you're in.
Right. And DJ
isn't an invitational.
Definitely qualifies. Yeah.
And DJ qualifies.
Right.
It would be very contradictory given that DJ has not committed a crime or done anything like that to not allow DJ to play in either the Open or the US Open, given that he has qualified. The PGA Championship and the Masters.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
I mean, he's disqualified at the Masters, though. Like, their Masters is the same one. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lifetime exemption.
Well, but it's up to the Masters.
But the Masters sends invitations.
Right. It's up to the US Open, too. The USGA makes, they can make special changes, too.
But the USGA holds very big
qualifiers.
If you qualify, like their thing is that this is open to anyone and everyone. If you can qualify, you're in. The Masters says nothing like that. The Masters gives a lifetime exemption to winners, but you can also be banned from Augusta National at the same time.
My guess is they're still going to be allowed to play in the majors, all four of them. That's my guess.
I
think that if this was brand new, I think if this started in, which could have been part of Norman's plan, I think if this started in February, I think that it would be very interesting to see what the Masters did. 8 months down the line, I think that they'll be able to play. It'll just be too old to the point where it will be a normality. And
you're assuming it's around 8 months from now too. Like I still have very big doubts that it'll survive for that long.
Yeah, this is true. But also like,
I mean, you see,
what's Augusta going to say about like human rights, right? Like it's Augusta. Yeah,
well, I mean, it's not right. At this point though, it's like the dudes that they have in that tournament, like, did you see that field? I mean, they're paying Wade Ormsby and amateur James Pyatt and a bunch of Asian tour guys. Like, it's just not a good professional golf field. And until two or three other guys go join DJ, I don't think it has much traction.
Here's my thing.
One more thing before you go to your thing. DJ could be thinking as himself. How old is he? He's got to be close to
38, 39.
He's not 33 anymore. Like
he turns 38 next month.
like he might be thinking he hasn't won on the tour in since the November Masters, right? So he might be thinking like, well, I just got to go get the bag at this point. Like my winning, maybe he just doesn't care as much anymore, you know? And that's a
very, he seems like that guy, he's that type of guy to me. Yeah.
Like I've won 20 times on tour. I've a couple majors. I've got a mask. I've got a green jacket. Every year I'll just go play Augusta, maybe a couple other places. But right now I'm not playing that well, and let me go get a boatload of money. So
yeah, I mean, he's in the midst of his worst season since like 2008, which was his first year on tour. So
right. Yeah. All right, Bob, what's your thing?
I feel like given that all these players have enough talent to be good watchable golf, if they can make some fun formats, it could still be watchable.
Well, I'm sure it's
it'll formats be aren't supposed to be different. Like it's not supposed to be stroke play. Like the whole
would thing. This have been a stroke play event? Like probably wouldn't have been like something that you'd watch with the same feel. But another thing is like, what are the contracts like? Like, I have a feeling that DJ could do this like scramble tournament for 4 months and then just get sick of it and be like, I want back on the tour. But like, he took the money. So what does the contract look like? It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I have another thing. I'm going to be completely honest here. LIV, the first event's next week. I will watch the LIV golf event over the RBC Canadian Open next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know if that viewership will last, but it's a weekend where Spieth isn't playing. So like my interest for the tour event's lower. I'll definitely tune in and see what this looks like. I think I read YouTube.
Okay.
So I'll be streaming it on my TV.
I think everybody's going to be tuning into it, right? Because even if it's different.
Sorry.
It's new. And it's something, it's like this big plan that everybody, you know, has been like all bashing, and some people have been like, oh, this could be cool. So everybody's going to tune in to see what they think. When's the next event? It's got to be probably after a couple weeks after the US Open, I'd imagine.
Just one more thing on the viewership. I think I'll disagree with you a little bit there. I think the casual like viewer, like the 50 to 60 year old, just because in like our technological age where it's going to be different, like you get what I'm saying, like most people on the weekend, they get home from a 5-day work week, they tune on CBS or NBC and they watch the golf. I feel like the casual golf fan probably won't go through all the trouble to get YouTube streaming wherever they can watch it, but I still think the viewership numbers will be pretty decent.
Yeah, well, and it'll be interesting to see how much that even matters, like the tour makes money because they get a lot of viewers, and I'd imagine LIV is kind of the same way. But if they have already got this insane amount of money, they probably don't care like at initially all that much about the viewership, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at this field and I'm just like,
do we know what the format is? If it's stroke play, that's
I think sucks. Like that every sucks. Event is I don't know. I think there's a team element, but I think it is stroke play, but there's some sort of team element.
I thought the PGL, which is different than this, was going to have 12 teams of 4 dudes and they were going to get a lot of money, but it was going to be more team-based stuff. And then my impression was that the LIV was stroke play at different courses with less people and more guaranteed money. But I mean, there's just so much going on that it's like, man, I don't know, you know, it's kind of wild. I mean, that's it. And for the LIV, that's huge that's on there. Like, cause now, I mean, DJ is not the biggest, like, it's not a Bryson, it's not a Spieth or a Rory or a Tiger or a Phil, but he's one of the top 15 best players in the world. And he's kind of committed himself to this tour because the PGA Tour ain't going to let him back for a little while. like DJ's not going to be at the Travelers Champ championship where he was the 2020 champ.
Yeah. Wait, is he?
He was committed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, that'd be. I mean, it's like
he committed in February.
Yeah, but I also, and that's, he also made a statement around them too. So it seems like DJ's had a change of heart.
You want to know? It seems like DJ got paid maybe
a lot.
10 figures is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I got DJ's statement here. Just part of it says, I feel it is now time to put such speculation to rest. I'm fully committed to the PGA Tour. That was from his
statement. Here's the thing. I think you have to look at the situation very differently for people like Dustin Johnson and James Pyatt. Say what you want about the morality of everything. We've already been over this. This is impossible for someone like James Pyatt to turn down.
Yeah. Agreed.
You can say whatever you want about what morals you have. If you are, how old is he probably? Like, he's still 20, in college.
23.
You have no idea what your future is going to hold. You could get in a car crash tomorrow and your golf career could be over. That's guaranteed money. With the amount of money that they're paying these people, that's guaranteed money that you have to take. So I'm not judging any of these guys. I think that for people like Richard Bland, even this is a move that they were just presented with too much money to pass up. And
that's fair. I mean,
for people like Dustin Johnson, very different. I'm not judging them. But it's definitely a very different situation, given that he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, well, same with Lee Westwood and Sergio and Poulter and all those guys.
But if I had to guess, I still think they play the majors.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, also the other thing, how many of those dudes are actually in majors, though?
That's a very good point. Not many.
Like, probably not very many of them.
No. But another thing is... Presence Cup.
Well, that's a good point, Jordan, but also the LIV golf tour, are there OWGR points? Are there
no
there can't be. It's not strong.
No.
Okay. And I get, obviously they don't qualify for FedEx Cup points, so that takes them out of the President's Cup race. What if they were just trolling and they just had like the UPS Cup race with UPS points or something? Like, that'd be funny. But man, I will be judging these people, but it is like, I understand why they go, but that still doesn't make it right in my opinion, but that's my opinion and they have theirs. And,
We respect opinions around here.
Yeah, it's like, you do you. I disagree with what you're doing, but...
We do respect opinions around here.
So...
But here's my overall take. I don't think that... I think that the morality of this is just like... We're living in a world where there's a lot of money coming from a lot of bad places. And like... I just don't see how you can judge someone like Richard Bland for taking this money or someone like James Pyatt for taking this money.
Well, it's because it's not good money. And there's other ways.
Well, what money's good?
Better money. Well, just because it's wrong doesn't mean it's... I mean, just because it's bad doesn't mean it's good, right?
And or what is good money?
Not to mention, Bob, I mean, your family runs the Memorial Tournament, right? Like, you could go straight onto Memorial's website and they are... sending lots of proceeds out to like three different charities. You don't see the Live Tour doing that, do you?
They don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you got to remember, like,
that's kind of my point. Not all certain money is better than other money.
The PGA Tour is like massive in communities too. Like,
that's fair. But
like, just because no money is pure doesn't mean that this money is on equal level, on equal terms as other money in this world.
That's fair enough. It's fair enough.
I understand what you're saying. I disagree with it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, we could sit here and kind of debate it all day. And, you know, I imagine, like, I get it for, like, I get why you'd go play to make a lot of money. But is it, you know, in my opinion, is it right? No. But, you know, not life is not full of right decisions. So it is what it is. And we'll move on and we'll see where this goes. And I'll be interested to kind of see what happens with it. I mean, this is crazy.
Twitter's having a field day.
I'd imagine. I also think the other interesting part is, like, didn't Jack came out and said he turned down like 100 mil from them or whatever. And now they're releasing all this stuff on, you know, on Jack's week kind of, right? So, but I mean, look, Rick Rungood just tweeted this out. The average, the OWGR average for this field is 300. I mean,
I think Mr. Payot, Mr. Puig, and Mr.
Oh, yeah, the amateurs kind of Chase Kepkas and Andy Ogletrees. And
there
and,
is like
Graham McDowell's 376 in the world. That's crazy.
There is just rough count. Looks like, what, 15 to 18 guys that are within the top 100 in the world, though. So it's respectable. It's a respectable field.
Yeah. Yeah, it's honestly like, I mean, I just said it's not a good field, but like for starting a league, it's not a terrible pull. So Pablo Larrazabal is in the field.
Is there any relation to Mr. Jose Maria?
No, I don't know. Crazy. I guess, I mean, end of the day, we'll just have to see where it ends up, where it goes. Take it day by day, week by week. And, you know, the Memorial is going to get played this week and the Canadian Open is going to get played next week along with the LIV, whatever it's called. So
I'm in shock.
Yeah, no,
I'm out of shock. I did not see that coming at all. I thought the surprise truly was going to be Fowler.
Yeah.
But I think it just shows that DJ really doesn't care about reputation, or I think he cares about his family, himself, and what he can do. And DJ's been a charitable person. I'm not trying to say like he's not like he's like greedy to the point where like he doesn't give to charity, but like he definitely sees this as an opportunity to set even more of his family and friends up for life, and he wants to take that, and he doesn't care about the other things that come with it.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah. DJ, he's forfeiting a lot of sponsor money. I think Ricky, while he may have thought about it, also realized he's getting carried by his farmers and like Puma and what else is he's Grant Thornton or whatever, and just, you know, like and I think Ricky cares about reputation. I mean, he was the PGA Tour's like golden boy
for a while. I don't know about that.
Ricky was like promoted on every platform, even though for the magnitude of golfer that he is, for what he's actually achieved, he was pumped up like the superstar a superstar.
Ricky was like, overshadowed by Spieth, because Ricky, his prime was 14 through 16?
Yeah, but he was still like,
no, he was really good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about like his game though. I just mean like he got a lot of, not saying Spieth didn't, and Spieth probably gets more. But Ricky still was like one of the top four dudes that if you ask casual fans about, they'd be like, yep, I know who Ricky Fowler is, even though he's won 5 times. So,
yeah, Kyle Porter just tweeted something that I just needed to read to you to further prove my point that like this is very tough to just turn down. Taylor Gooch is going to clear Tiger's career earnings in the sport of golf. in the next 15 months.
That's a sore last.
That's absurd. Yeah. And that's just the type of money that you just
I don't think he knows that for sure. I think he's just making a joke. But he very well could
clear. But like yeah, you get the point. It's crazy.
Man.
Do we want to get into our bets now, or do we like, I feel like I could talk about this for hours.
Yeah. Like, well, I feel like I'm running out of like.
You want to take a break from bets and just be like,
no,
Patrick Cantley and John Rahm.
No, I have a comeback to make. Dan has a comeback.
All right, fine. I'll give my bets right now. I'll give make fast. Some bets.
We still got to do our Thrive stuff as well.
Yeah, so. True.
Yeah, I'll give a fast and furious right now.
Well, real quick. Because, I mean, people should have seen it by now, but tee times and groups and stuff and TV coverage is out like that. So for Spieth, it's early, late, 7:30 on Thursday-ish and 12:30 Friday. He's playing with Adam Scott and Sepp Straka.
I haven't even tweeted out the tee times. I have no clue what they even are.
It's a monster group. It's actually kind of nice to not be with, like, JT and Rory every week. And somehow he's the marquee group Thursday. I guess, you know, he just moves the needle that much. So it'll be shown Thursday and Friday on ESPN Plus. TV coverage, I believe, is 3 to 6 on Golf Channel Thursday, Friday, maybe 4 to 7. And then CBS Golf Channel will have their normal 1 to 6 coverage Saturday through Sunday, I think, in case you were curious about that. But yeah, now we can kind of get into these bets. I'm still a little like
taken back.
That list is crazy. It's here. It's like, it's a real thing now.
I'm so shocked, dude. But we move on. My winner for the week is let's see, blind here. I'm gonna go with Carlos Ortiz, 3-10 to 1. I'm going to put 5 on that.
Yeah, the Spieth look alike, at least from the side.
Yeah. I need to find a tourney special with another big.
Yeah, I was going to say, the chance Ortiz has been pretty bad.
Yeah, he's not winning. I'm just trying to find someone with a lot of value because I'm putting 90 points on a singular.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I've got Hideki winning this week. He's at 25 to 1. He's won here before. When he's not hurt, he's played really well.
Yeah.
And I mean, Memorial requires tee to green, and that screams Hideki. And like Jordan mentioned,
it's, yeah, I was a bit about to, yeah.
With the new kind of some of the new green complexes, the three putts went down. So that also helps out Hideki quite a bit because obviously his putter is not his best friend sometimes. So I don't know. We'll see. He's done me pretty well this year. So I like his chances this week.
How much do you have on him?
I'm going to go 10. And he's at 25 to 1. So
I gotcha. 260. All right. I'm last. Well, second in the best standings. Dan's in last in the standings. Just throwing that out there. I have Colin Morikawa, runner up finish here in the past, won the Workday Charity Open a couple seasons ago. He likes this course with Colin. It's usually coming down to the putter. He's putted well on these greens in the past. The ball striking's there. So I got 20 on him to pay out 400. He is 19-1.
Placements. More, I looked at Morikawa too. I mean, this is a good spot for him, but he hasn't been as good since the Open, which is very sad. But he couldn't be not good at the Open. But he's just kind of, but who knows, the place for him. He won the Workday Charity, and he finished runner up last year, even though Rahm had a WD. Anyway, I'm going to go Patrick Reed, top 20. He's playing well. He's played well here before, too. And it just seems like a low. Pete Reed is somehow in contention week. He's at plus 230, so I thought that was pretty good value. I'm going to throw 60 on that. I don't know what that pays out, but a pretty good chunk of change, I think.
How much on him again?
60.
All right, to pay out 198.
Okay, solid.
I'm actually just going to go with a split. I'm going to go 45 on one of these and 50 on the other. And that's Rahm and Cantley, the top 10.
You're doing what? You can only have one placement.
No, you can have your last one as another placement if you want.
Oh, yeah. My bad. You are correct. I am wrong. Sorry, Bob. So
45 on Cantley at plus 210 and plus 145 is Rahm, I think.
Cantley and Rahm, 45 each, shot the top 10.
No, 50 on Rahm, 40 on. 50 on 45 Rahm. On. Yeah, because I put 5 on Ortiz.
50 on Rahm, 45 on Cantley.
Yeah, I was going to say one of those is going to hit. Just have to. They're both so good at near field. Rahm was going to destroy everybody last year, and then Cantley won. But anyway, go ahead, Jordan.
Bob's too smart. One of those are definitely going to hit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm deaf. 50 on Rahm, 45 on Cantley, right?
Yeah, Bob? That's accurate. So.
Okay. So I'm last with my placement. Sorry, one second. Big numbers guy here. I have to use my calculator.
Man. That LIV list really threw this thing for a turn, huh?
We got a good amount of Memorial talk in now.
True.
Yeah, no, I don't really care how much Memorial talk we got in. I'm just surprised.
So I'm last with my placement. I only put 10 on them. Maybe stupid when I'm 700 points down, but I was just kind of shocked by the odds. Bo Hostler to top 40. He's very random. He could miscut. He could shoot 80-80, but he's popped a few times this week and at plus 300. Just some of the names that are, you know, below him have not popped. So I got 10 to pay out. How much was it? 10 to pay out 40. So I put a lot on my random play.
He's not the Ohio Bo, right? It's Bo
Texas. Hogue. Correct. This is Texas Bo.
Bo, yeah. So I don't mind that. You're a random player or me first?
I'll go first because mine's kind of gut feeling here. I'm fading Cameron Smith this week.
Okay.
Off the tee is easily the worst part of his game, and you're going to have to hit fairways around here. And his Memorial resume is horrible. He's played here 6 times. He's missed the cut 4 times, and he T65 and T68. That alone has me putting the house on him to miss the cut. I think it's a plus 340 for a guy who's played so badly here. You're not going to get any better value at plus 340 or higher odds type of bet to try and cash. So I got 70 to pay out 308 on Cam Smith to miss the cut.
it's a good way to kind of climb back into it if he does. I'm surprised he's been bad. He hasn't putted well here either, though.
Correct.
Like I think that's the other part of it. Bob put Cantlay as a top 10, and he's obviously the stud here. So I had to get a little Cantlay action this week. so I have him winning his group. He's at plus 280 to beat Rory, Rahm, and Cam Smith. I felt like Cam Smith, he was going to beat regardless. And then Rory and Rahm is tough, but Cantlay seems to have some pretty good vibes around here. So I'll give him kind of the edge. And I just feel like Rahm's been just kind of like, I know he won in Mexico, but he hasn't been as stellar maybe as he could be. And Cantlay is like horrendous missed cut at the PGA doesn't bother me because he does that all the time in majors. So that's at plus 280, and I'm going to throw 30 on that. I'm not sure what that adds up to, but
114. I was quick on that one. That one was easy to find. So we can get into our Thrive plays now.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I logged into Thrive, and honestly, the first play I saw jumped out to me. He's playing way too well. Rory McIlroy under 69.5 strokes for 110 points. The line is, I wish it was 70.5, but Rory is playing really well right now. He's kind of unlucky to not have a win since CJ Cup in the fall. So I'll hammer the under there. You can go ahead.
I was just going to say, Will Zalatoris, 67.5 strokes. Aside from the PGA, he hasn't missed. That's kind of sandwiched in between missed cuts. But a 67 is a really good score here. So I'm going to take the over. I know it's 70 points, so it's not great value, but it'll get you on the board. And then Colin Morikawa, 71.5 strokes under, because he plays really well here. He won, like I mentioned, he won the workday when it was obviously softer, but then he runner up and missed. Was it a playoff last year against Cantlay? I think it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed like a 5-footer. So he had a really bad week with the putter last week. So I'd imagine he put some work in this week and he'll come out with a 69 or something like that. But so I'm gonna take the under on that. For it's even money, so 100 points. And those are the two plays that I like, especially on Thursday.
I can give a second and then you can go, Bob. I like John Rahm, great player, but I'll take the over for 2.5 bogeys for the value of 115 points. Easy golf course to rack up bogeys. If you're just a little off and his short game hasn't been back, it's been really bad this year, and you're going to need your short game to be on this year. So that's kind of a flyer, but I could easily see him making 3+ bogeys.
Yeah. I'm taking the under on that. I played in some Thrive challenges I created some lineups this last weekend just for fun, 'cause I was bored, and I realized that 3 bogeys, even at a hard golf course, is hard for someone who's playing. Because I had a Davis Riley over 2.5, and that was a sweat. And that was Colonial on Sunday, where everyone was making bogeys. So, because it doesn't include doubles, first of all.
Oh, really?
No. So, yeah, I'm taking the under on that for a free 85. I did realize that you need some that are over 100 points. I'm gonna kind of go with you guys on the under on Rory's 69.5. I think that's a really good.
You take what I took.
I took the under 69.5.
Yeah.
And then my final one for just free points is Bryson under birdie. So. Bryson will not be a factor this week, unfortunately.
He may not even play. Like, who knows where he's at?
He's right? 85 and to 1 this week. I should have picked him.
It's not bad value, but I don't think he's he's ready to play. He's ready to compete like that.
If you're gonna be out at Merrifield Village, duck cover and hold. They're gonna be, I guarantee he's gonna be spraying it. There's just no way with how hard he hits it that he's going to hit it straight. So.
Oh, yeah, that 14-year-old golfer is playing in the Saudi thing.
Really?
The one that won, like, the youngest to ever win, like, a professional event. Like, TK something.
Wow.
14-year-old.
14, and you're about to get paid.
Yeah, man. Like, a lot. But I think that's all we have today, right?
Yeah. Well, yep. I was going to say, just a quick thing about Thrive. Obviously, promo code GGT will double your deposit, all that good stuff. True. It's kind of like, it's fun because you have to kind of figure out your strategy, because you do need some big plays to hit to be kind of near the top of the leaderboard. But it's also, it's a lot, like the lines are really good. There's a lot of sweats where you're coming down 15, 16, 17, and it's, you need two bogeys, or you need, you know, just a bogey and it, or birdies or strokes or whatever. So it's, they set some good lines and they make it a lot of fun. So it's been an enjoyable experience with them, I think. But I wonder if they'll do LIV stuff. DJ did not know who his partner is for 110 points.
Are there any, sorry to interrupt you, are there any LIV guys in the field this week at Memorial?
I highly doubt it. Unless, like,
I feel like Sergio is there. Is Sergio there?
I'll pull up the...
I saw when Jordan got paired with Adam Scott. I'm thinking, like, Adam Scott could be playing the LIV Tour. He was rumored to sit. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that's a little surprising, actually, that he's not. Because he kind of fits the same as, like, Westwood and Poulter and stuff like that.
PGA Tour app is so bad.
So,
all right, Sergio is not in the field.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Matt Jones is, though. Matt Jones is. Who's playing with Mr. Jones? Cam Champ and Mr. Brem.
It's like Ryan Brem. Taylor Gooch might be in the field. He's not in the field.
An interesting dynamic.
In here. Yeah, Matt Jones. That'll be interesting.
Hudson Swafford. Is Hudson Swafford in it too?
Hudson Swafford, is he in the field?
He is. He's playing with Mr. Willett, Mr. CT Penn. Willett's kind of a shocker. He didn't go.
I think Jediah Morgan.
Who is Willett in the field?
No, Willett's not in the field.
No, I was gonna say that would be glorious. What a downfall that would be.
Looks like three James Pyatt's in this field. So that's four guys.
That's probably it.
Peter Uline is here.
Peter Uline.
See Swafford. So that's four or five. I lost count already, but I do not see Peter Uline. So five dudes. That's that'll be intriguing. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought the tour was like you can't play there. Without and be in our tour.
Some stuff isn't will get real that, now.
Isn't that what the I thought they'd like to denied those releases, you know? But I guess it's just a lot more complicated than all of it. So now it's the snowball actually started down the hill. And now we just wait for gravity to pick up and the days will move on and we'll just kind of see what happens. But yeah, crazy stuff. Live reaction, which is kind of cool. At first I was like, Bob, he said something about like, don't look at whatever. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, clearly there's something important. I thought maybe Spieth changed his putter or grip or,
trust me, I'm not that. It wasn't that big. It was like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
If that happened, there would be streamers everywhere and balloons.
But I would love for him to just go to the claw grip from inside of six. or something. That'd be fun.
That would be a disaster for him too with how fidgety he is, though. That would be
very true.
He would not survive with the clicker.
Maybe he should go to just like a Bryson grip, one of those jumbo grips. That might help. I don't know. Regardless, great pod.
Great pod.
You guys enjoyed.
We caught the news right as it
was dropped.
So
I'll have it out for you within 3 hours.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
Peace.
Peace.